Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sam. I am an FEBC student. It's a joy to be here to bring you God's Word. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this Lord's Day. We thank Thee for this day of rest that Thou hast ordained, a day of worship, a day to turn our hearts towards Thee, to remember Thee, to honor Thee, a day to prepare ourselves for the week ahead. We pray that Thou wouldst sanctify our hearts and our minds and prepare us to receive Thy word. Cleanse away all distractions, take away every sin, and help us to focus, help us to learn, and most of all, help us to do and to obey, that we may glorify Thee in our lives. So bless this time to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13, we'll read responsively from verses 1 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reading responsively from verses 1 to 8. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Verse 8. It shall vanish away. So this is a familiar passage and words that we are all well aware of, this passage on love, this passage on charity. And as we read these words, they're so marvelous and so wonderful. Charity is presented as a crowning virtue, the best of the spiritual gifts, something that we ought to seek after, something that we ought to strive towards, something that we ought to cultivate. And there's so much to learn about charity. We're going to consider different aspects of charity in our time together. But we have to ask ourselves, first of all, why learn about charity? Why study this virtue? Why should we find out about charity? Firstly, because it's a command. We are commanded to love. We are commanded to show charity towards one another. But it's not just something to know about intellectually. It's not just something to understand in our minds. It's not just something to know about so we can complain when other people fall short, so we can complain when other people don't show charity. It's not just something to praise ourselves for when we happen to do this or that thing that is in line with charity. We learn about charity because in verse 1 of chapter 14, we have these words there, follow after charity, follow after charity. We learn about charity so that we can follow after it, so that we can seek after it, so that we can strive for it. And it's interesting that the word there is follow after charity, as though it's something that's always ahead of us, something always that we're trying to get towards, a standard that's so high, we're always trying to reach it. And yet we follow after charity, we strive towards this goal. And that's why we learn, that's why we study this passage. And this afternoon, we're going to look at just one aspect of charity in verse 5. Charity seeketh not her own. Charity seeketh not her own. And that word seeketh implies a diligent looking for, a searching for. It implies a goal that we seek towards, an aim, something that we try to achieve, a purpose, a diligent seeking. And the goal, the aim of charity, the purpose of charity, the direction of charity is expressed here in the negative. Charity seeketh not her own. Now we all know that seeking our own is exactly what we are most accustomed to do, something that's most natural for us, something that we do naturally. We seek our own. We seek our own gain. We seek our own comfort. We seek our own way. I see that when I drive, the way people drive, seeking their own way. I'm sure you've encountered this, not giving way to others, but trying to get their own way. And when I was taking my basic theory test, I discovered that there's something called a mandatory give way to buses sign. It's a mandatory give way to buses sign, a sign to tell people they have to give way to buses because they don't do it naturally. We don't give way to others. We seek our own way. We seek to be ahead. We seek our own comfort, our own gain. In public transport, how often do you see people giving up their seats? Sometimes you do, but very often you see people looking down, pretending not to see. My wife is there with the baby. Everyone's looking away. People are pretending she's just carrying a pillow or something. People don't give way to others. People seek their own. They have a seat. They're happy. They don't want to give anyone else that seat. And that's what we do as well. We seek our own comfort. We make sure we are satisfied before we even think about others. In our personal relationships, in our conversations with others, we try to present ourselves in the best light, even at the expense of others, even if it means putting other people down. As long as we come out on top, as long as our name rises to the top, we seek our own gain, we seek our own fame, we seek our own recognition, we want to be known, we want to be looked at, we want to be considered. The story is told of one of the American presidents, President Roosevelt. I don't know if this is true, but apparently he loved to be the center of attention. And it was said of him, every time he went to a wedding, he wanted to be the bride. Every time he went to a funeral, he wanted to be the corpse, because that's where the center of attention is. And it's something we can laugh about, but it shows how illogical this self-seeking can be. It can be taken to these lengths, taken to these heights. We just want to be on top. We want our own way. We want our own benefit. Anything that's good for us, anything that's best for us, we want. We don't consider others. We consider ourselves first of all. Now, these things, far from being despised by the world, in many ways they are encouraged by the world. The world encourages this kind of self-seeking, trying to get ahead, trying to get the best for yourself. The world praises this. Fame and recognition are praised. And children are encouraged to enjoy being the center of attention. Children, parents are told you must not tell your child anything bad about himself or herself. You must make your child feel like they are the best. Everything they do, you must tell them it's wonderful. You can't tell them about sin, definitely not. You can't tell them they're sinners. You can't tell them they have offended God. You can't make them feel bad about themselves. The world encourages this kind of attitude, that we should think the best of ourselves and that we should want the best for ourselves. The world encourages people to be go-getters, to set goals for themselves and then try to get it by any means. And people who are considered for jobs, they want people who are ambitious. They want people who are career-minded, people who are driven. My father-in-law was telling me he went to a seminar on leadership, and he was told some of the things that they ought to look for when they are recruiting people. And one of those things was they should be hungry, not hungry for food, but hungry for gain, hungry for progress, hungry for advancement. They should be driven. They should be seeking things basically for themselves. And this is something the world prizes. People enjoy being the center of attention. Now, with things like social media, people have a ready platform to parade themselves. And these things are enjoyed by the world, praised by the world. No one blinks an eye at it. People who do well for themselves and amass great wealth by this kind of self-seeking, they are the ones who are considered to be successful. And the people who don't do this, the people who give way to others, the people who think of others and consider others, they are ignored, they are forgotten. No one praises them, no one thinks of them. But the ones who are successful are the ones who seek things for themselves and get those things. The ones who are driven and who achieve their aims at any cost. So the world praises this kind of self-seeking. And if we turn to 2 Timothy, just to illustrate this biblically, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And the Word of God says here, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." That is a remarkable list of sins. And you see what comes first of all in the list in verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's the first characteristic of men in the last days. That's the first characteristic of people in the last days. That's what we are like, naturally. That's what the world is like. That's what the world encourages, to be lovers of self, to be seekers of self. But we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that charity seeketh not her own. Charity seeketh not her own. Charity does not do this. Charity is not like the world. Charity does not seek the things of self. It is completely opposite to that nature, completely opposite to that kind of seeking. And we ask ourselves, why is it phrased in the negative? Why does Paul say, "Charity seeketh not her own"? Why doesn't he tell us what charity seeks after? Why does he say, "seeketh not"? And I think there are some aspects of charity that are being emphasized here. If you read through this description, you'll notice many of the things are in the negative. Charity does not behave itself unseemly, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Many things are in the negative, and one of the things that's being emphasized here is the uniqueness of charity, how special it is, how unique it is, how unlike our old nature it is, how not normal charity is. It's something completely different, something special, something unique. Putting it in the emphasis, in the negative, emphasizes that uniqueness of charity. It is set apart. It is set apart here from things like tongues, prophecy, and knowledge, there in the first two verses. "Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." Charity is set apart even from these things, because tongues, prophecy, knowledge, all these things can be self-seeking. All of these things can be turned to a self-seeking motive. We see that in the charismatics, in the televangelists, the people who make great following for themselves and great fame for themselves by these things, by tongues, by prophecy, by healings. And yet it's all self-seeking. Yet it's not true charity. We see that in the Sermon on the Mount when the Lord Jesus was saying, "In that day many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not in thy name cast out demons, done many wonderful works? Have we not done these things?" And yet it was self-seeking. And God will say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity." Charity is set apart from all these things as something higher, something better, something unique, something that's so special. Charity seeketh not her own. It is from the beginning not self-seeking. And it's contrasted also in verse 3 with all forms of outward appearance. "Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Charity is not about, not even about what you do by itself, not even about doing these things, not even about bestowing all your goods to feed the poor. You can do that and yet not have charity? Because charity is so special, so unique, so above all these things. It's not part of our old nature. Charity is contrasted even with the outward appearance. And so we see the uniqueness of the charity. It's a unique direction of our hearts, a unique direction of our hearts, a unique direction of our motivation, away from the things of self. Charity is a direction away from self, the direction of our hearts, the direction of our seeking, away from the things of self. It is away from those things that it is most natural for us to seek after, the things that we most naturally go towards and desire. Charity takes us away from those things. Charity is directed away from those things. And that's the first emphasis, the uniqueness of charity. And the second emphasis of this, putting it in the negative, reminds us and makes us see the divine origin of charity. Charity is something not part of the old man, not part of our fallen nature, not part of our old nature. Charity is part of the new man, part of the new creation in Christ. Charity is not old. It's not all those things that we used to do, all those things that we used to seek after, all those things that we used to desire. Charity is not those things. And it's put in the negative to emphasize that. It's not part of the old man. It's something new, something divine, a new creation in Christ. That's the prerequisite to have charity at all. Without that new creation, without that total regeneration of our hearts and minds, we cannot have true charity. We cannot seek after things that are not of self. We cannot not seek our own in that sense. We will naturally seek our own because that's who we are. As fallen human beings, we seek our own. But charity is not like that. Charity is not any of those things. And putting it in the negative emphasizes that for us. The uniqueness of charity, how special it is, how unlike anything of our old nature it is, and the divine origin of charity, how much it is a part of the new nature. So what then does charity seek after? If charity seeketh not her own, if charity does not seek the things of self, then what does charity seek after? Can we say that charity seeks after the things of others? The point is, again there in verse 3, even this kind of philanthropy, even this kind of seeking the things of others can in fact, underneath it all, be self-serving and self-seeking. We have examples of this in the great so-called philanthropists of the world. And I was reading the other day that Ted Turner, I don't know if you know him, I didn't know him before I read this, but he's the founder of CNN. He's an extremely rich man. And a few years ago, he donated $1 billion, billion with a B, $1 billion to the UN. And it was this huge, grand gesture of philanthropy. It was praised by many people, how selfless this man is to give away $1 billion. But you read a bit further and you find out why he made this pledge and what he thought about it. And it turns out he received a financial statement in January of the year, and he got another one in August of the year. And in that time, he saw that his net worth had increased by $1 billion. And so he said, this is a quote, "So I figure it's only 9 months' earnings. Who cares?" End quote. That's his attitude. That's how he gives. Is that real philanthropy? Now, of course, we don't know hearts. I don't know his motive. I don't know what was in his heart. But this reminds me of that woman who gave the two mites. In Luke chapter 21, if we look there together, Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, and verses 1 to 4. And here Jesus looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, "Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she hath. So we see the contrast. It's not about how much you give. It's not about these grand gestures of philanthropy. It's not just about seeking the things of others outwardly, externally, because even these actions, even these gestures, grand though they be, though they involve millions or billions of dollars, they can be self-seeking. They can, deep down underneath it all, they can be self-seeking. We have the example also of Ananias and Sapphira, who seemed to give to the church. And they gave probably a substantial sum, but it was revealed that they had a selfish motive. They wanted to be acclaimed for their generosity. And in fact, they kept back a price of the land that they sold. They didn't give it all. They lied. It was all for a self-seeking motive. Even though they made that gesture, even though they gave, even though they appeared to seek the things of others, underneath it all, it was self-seeking. So it's not enough to say that charity seeks the things of others. That's an external thing. But we must say that charity seeks the things of Christ. Charity seeks the things of Christ. And we see that in Philippians chapter 2. If you'll turn there with me. Philippians chapter 2. And let's read together from verses 19 to verse 21. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. Reading, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." And there we have the contrast laid out for us. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. That is what charity seeks after. Not the things of self, not just externally, apparently, superficially, the things of others, but genuinely and sincerely, the things of Jesus Christ. And we see straight away how rare it is. Paul was forced to say, "I have no man like-minded, no man like this, no man who will naturally care for your state genuinely in Christ, only Timothy," because everyone seeks their own. Everyone seeks their own things. No one seeks the things of Jesus Christ. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. There again we see the uniqueness of charity, how rare and how special a virtue it is to seek the things of Jesus Christ and not the things of self. So charity seeks to build others up in Christ. Charity seeks to do the will of Christ, to do the will of Christ in your own life, in your own sphere, in every relationship that you have. The will of God, the will of Christ revealed in His Word is there. The Word of God has instructions for us regarding every relationship, husband and wife, parent and child, your relationship with other church members, your relationship with people at work, people in school, your relationship with the government. All of this is covered in God's Word. And charity seeks that. It seeks to promote God's Word, God's will in your life. Not your own will, not the things of self, not the things that please you, not the things that satisfy you, not the things that make you feel good or comfortable, but the things that please the Lord Jesus, the things that please your Master in heaven. Charity seeks after these things. Charity does not seek her own. Charity also seeks the spiritual benefit and profit of others, the things of Christ in other people's lives, the will of God for them. Charity seeks to build other people up in Christ, to edify others, to encourage others. We think of the picture of a house. Imagine if all the pillars of a house were going their own way. Imagine if all the foundation pillars of the house sought their own way. They sought their own way and they went all different directions. That house could never stand. That house could never even be built. But when all the pillars seek the way, the direction of the master builder, then that house is built. And it's the same with us. It's the same with the church. When all of us seek the things of Jesus Christ, then the church is built up. That's charity. It's a virtue for us in the church. When all seek their own, when all go their own way, the church is not built up. The church does not advance. The gospel of Christ is not advanced. The church is not a true witness for God. The church is going all over the place. But when every member seeks the things of Christ, then all those pillars are going in the right direction, ordered and directed by the master builder, the Lord Jesus himself. Then the building is raised. Then the witness shines for Christ. So that is charity. Charity seeks to build others up and to build ourselves up in Christ. Charity seeks the things of Christ, not the things of self. Charity seeketh not her own. And so as we come to conclusion, with this understanding of charity, of this aspect of charity, how can we follow after? How can we follow after this aspect of charity in our lives? How can we learn to seek not our own, but seek the things which are Jesus Christ? How can we follow after it? The first is to understand that it is an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of our inner motivations. It's not about what you do, not about what you say, not about how much you give, not about all these things by themselves, but the direction of your heart. Which direction is your heart? What is your motivation? What is your goal, your aim, or purpose? Towards which direction is your heart? Towards the things of self or towards the things of Christ? So when you examine yourself, don't just examine your actions, don't just examine your words, but examine your motives. Evaluate your motives. Am I honestly seeking the things of Christ, or am I seeking my own things? Am I really ultimately self-seeking? Then that is not charity. In every relationship, we ought to have this evaluation. Am I seeking the things of self, or am I seeking the things of Christ? What is the direction of my heart? What is my inner motivation? We don't just evaluate the decisions that we make, but we evaluate how we are guided in these decisions. Is it a self-seeking motive that causes us to make this decision? Or is it a Christ-seeking motive that causes us to make this decision? In our personal relationships, what is the direction of our hearts? Do we complain when things don't go our way, when we don't get what we want? Or are we willing to give way to others for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the building up of the church of Christ? When we give a cup of cold water, do we do it genuinely in the name of a disciple? In other words, in the name of a disciple of Christ, for the Master? Or do we do it ultimately with a self-seeking motive? All these actions can be self-seeking. It can be for recognition, for praise. It can be to get a favor from others. But the direction of the heart is what matters. So in order to follow after charity, to follow after this aspect of charity, we must examine our hearts, the direction of our hearts, our motivation. We must examine and consider these things honestly. The second thing is to recognize that there will be opposition, to recognize that this is a difficult thing to do. Paul said, all men seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. It is so natural for us to be self-seeking. And when we read those words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see straight away how far we fall short and how difficult it is to do all those things, how difficult it is to not be like we used to be, to not be that old man, to not allow that old nature to direct us, to not allow that old nature to govern our actions, our words, our thoughts. How difficult it is. We face opposition because we still have that old self-seeking nature in us, and it can be very strong. So as we follow after charity, as we try to seek not our own, realize that it will be difficult. It requires effort. It requires a real struggle against that old nature, against that self-seeking nature that remains in us, which is so opposed to charity, which wants the things of self. It is something we must actively fight against, to put off actively the old man, to put away those kinds of thoughts, those kinds of motives, to seek after the things of Christ. not to seek after the things of self. It is something that is difficult, not natural, not easy. And the third thing is to consider spiritual things and not just material things. As we seek after the things of Christ, those are spiritual things, not just material things. We seek to profit others spiritually, not just materially, for the sake of Christ. That is charity. That's what charity seeks after. The spiritual profit of others, a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, even a word of rebuke, but all of it in the Lord, all of it for the sake of Christ, all of it for the spiritual profit of others, to promote the things of Christ in our own life and in the lives of others. As Paul said of Timothy, let's be like that. Let's be a man like-minded, like Timothy, who cares not for his own things, but for the things of Christ. So may the Lord help us to seek after the things of Christ, not the things of self, to follow after this aspect of charity. I pray we have understood it more, and I pray the Lord will help us as we seek to follow after charity, to attain this spiritual gift of gifts, to attain this crowning virtue, to be loving, charitable people in the genuine biblical sense, not seeking our own things, with a genuine direction of heart towards the things of Christ, not the things of self. He is the one that knows our hearts. He is the one to whom we will have to give account. And I pray we'll be able to give a good account to Him that we have sought the things of Christ and not the things of self. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this brief study of Thy word. We pray that Thou wouldst impress upon our hearts the great need for charity, how we need to build one another up in Thee, how we as a church need to work together to build the body of Christ and to build the witness of the church for Thy glory and for Thy name's sake. So help us to strive against that old nature, to put away the things of self, to put away the self-seeking nature, to put off the old man and to put on the new, to genuinely seek the things of Christ our Savior. We pray that Thou wouldst help us in this, for we cannot do it without Thee. We need Thy help to cleanse our hearts and our minds. So be with us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.